So, Craig, what's going on with your... It's going through this, Mike. What's going on with your new family adventures? Do you have anything you want to share? Or your wife could share, too, probably, because, you know... Because one thing we shouldn't forget is that she's part of this whole thing, even if it wasn't what she ordered, you know? Natanya, ever since that day when you were sitting on that picnic table bench and I was sitting there across from you and you just had this little smirk on your face and you rolled your eyes back in your head and then intentionally you just fell backwards off the bench, I think maybe just to terrify your mother to death, I've known that there's something that just needs to come out, you know? So, maybe today's the day. Well, not that nothing's ever come out, but I used to tell Jackie all the time, I'd say, Jackie the Lioness. And you know that the lioness is the most dangerous lion, right?
Yeah.
In this case, dangerous to the enemy. So, anyway, if you have, did you have something you wanted to share, Craig?
Oh yeah, I do.
Does Dantani have something you want her to share?
Well, I can't force her to do anything. But
no, I didn't say force. I said want.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's.
Oh, wait. I don't actually know that, but I know in my brain that I can construct the possibility of that.
Thing keeps flying open on me. Oh, honey, it's okay. All you gotta do is push me out of the way and start talking. I don't know where if, because I also, hey, where'd he go? Oh, there, you're right there. I also did a bit of studying last night just in case I had to give anything more than a testimony. So I'm not sure which to start off with first. Start with the, oh, so you can go sit down. Okay, yeah. Yesterday we had some family members come up from Westchester and from Queens to visit. That would be my biological father, my aunt, my first aunt. She would what, Gomo one Gomo. I'm not even sure how to. Anyway, she's the first sister of my dad, and then her son and her son's fiance. They all came up, and it was my first time meeting Doug and his wife. So anyway, it was interesting to me, just some of the real culture that's behind those two, and all four of them really, but also just how welcoming and open that they are. And I think the thing that really struck me, there are plenty of things that struck me yesterday, but the thing that really, really struck me is, my dad initiated that we would pray over the meal. And, you know, we do our typical, the normal regular blessing. But then, you know, when he did that, I thought, wow, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to be expressive and not have to think about even the fear of doing it out of my own will or something, just because, you know, my dad initiated it. So I don't really know how typical normal everyday Christians pray over their meals, but I don't think I talked at all about the food. just praying about being what we did there to be pleasing to the Lord and to be blessings to each other. And I think that in everything that ensued afterwards, it really was. And we got to do. They asked us, our story about how we started courting and got engaged. And it seems to be a common thing that people ask us that don't know us. I don't know why that is, but I find that part of the real value in that testimony to them and to whoever we tell it to is just how at work God was in that situation. And I think that it's sort of almost become a tool to really bring others just into my life and to kind of see what's going on. Natanya kind of thinks some of the things I said were weird, but
that was the part that I was going to add is, like, sometimes as much as I roll my eyes because Craig really loves to give the full blown like hour long version with as many details as possible, sometimes as much as I grimace and just like roll up my sleeves for the long haul, I've seen it with, especially with his family members, I've seen it like with the, not this particular family, but with his other side. A lot of times they've never really gotten opportunity to see or hear from Craig, and they've seen him really silly and joking and doing it in a way where it's like, you know, I love you and I care about you type thing, but not really getting a chance to see him so serious. And then he tells our story and I add whatever, and you can just see people listen. And throughout our story, there's no possibility to exclude God from it. So the same thing happened with, you know, Jin, his father, had heard our story before, but he was like, nah, it's okay, share it. And his first aunt is, you know, her English, I don't know how much exactly she understands. She speaks broken English, but she's also a practicing Buddhist. And I don't know about his cousin and his fiance. But, like, the fiancé, like, her eyes are just, like, lighting up, and they wanted to know more details. And they really got a chance, without knowing what questions to ask, to get a sense of who we are in our lives and how we started. And I really thought that was, it has become and will continue to be a pretty powerful testimony to people. And I think there's also just, with the visit, there was just, like, a level of, you know, it's weird when you have people who are strangers, but then they're also family. So it's like you're getting to know people, but there's like this overarching sense of just like love and newfound appreciation and family. So it was just a really, really beautiful time. And, you know, I love his dad and his aunt and meeting his cousin, probably one of the more, like, you know, he's older. So he just has a really beautiful heart, and his fiance is wonderful. So that was another miracle in and of itself, because they came on a day that preceded a holiday weekend. So, that's a hard day for any teacher to take off, because they already get the holiday off. And so they usually get flagged if they try to take off a day before or after holiday weekend. But I thought this was pretty important, and so I reached out to my principal to get permission for it, and he had to go to the superintendent, because the superintendent has to sign off on that. And I was just honestly looking for a half day, but I had mentioned either a half day or a whole day, and I got the whole day off, so that was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I was really grateful to have you there. It was actually... It was nice, because we were able to switch off between who was doing certain cooking things and talking, and swapping those roles kind of helped lighten the load for me a little bit. As an aside, you know, we've been kind of like really struggling with getting all those thank yous out since our wedding, but so if we have never said thank you or expressed how grateful we are that you guys back to back wedding us and with Noach and Jerusha, and how much work and effort you guys put in to help make that happen. We are incredibly grateful for that. So thank you. But back to and you know what else happened yesterday is we went over the Keller House families, and we were talking about, you know, the things that we're proud of ourselves for, which is a tradition I think maybe just started yesterday, because I don't remember ever doing that. But it was really nice because I got to kind of say to myself, oh yeah, you know, you matter too. And you're able to do things. And I think I kind of surprised myself, but certainly surprised Netanya with the way that I was preparing on Thursday for my family to visit, with all of the cleaning that I did. I forget who it was that says, you know, that said, if you're going to clean, you should clean like a woman. And Mrs. L. I really vacuumed every single nook and cranny that I could possibly find, and then mopped it all. Surprised I didn't start trying to mop the couches. It got so late and I was getting tired trying to figure out what I should do next. Yeah, glad I didn't mop the couch. But yeah, anyway, God has been really, really good to us in that situation, and in the lives of all my family members. And I think some of the things that Netanya was touching on didn't just relate to my family yesterday, but also our family in Pennsylvania, with my uncle Juge, who is just starting his journey with the Lord. I'll just, based on memory, what he was saying was he had to go to the doctor for some internal issue that he was having, and they were giving him the runaround, and he wasn't having it, and he was being very demanding for the right answers. And he ended up speaking to a particular doctor who could see just how much he needed to be there in that moment, and started preaching to him in the middle of the doctor's office about don't you see how valuable it is that you're here? Don't you see this is God's work? And something about that, I wish he was here to give the testimony, because I'm not him, but he started reading the Bible and turning his life around. He recognizes now that he is at least he'll admit that he's clinically an alcoholic, like medically. He really needs to cut down on that, and by his word, he is actually going from, I don't know, how, maybe 12 to 20 beers an evening to, you know, he's really slowing it down. The night that we were with him, I didn't actually see him do that much drinking. So I think that there's a real hold of God on my life and the lives of my family members that I don't know how to praise him enough for, but you know, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing. And to sort of transition into, yeah, you can go sit down, honey, thank you. I love you. To sort of transition into the Torah portion that I was reading last night. Man, those are some wonderful women, huh? That recognized just the incredible authority that God has. Single women. Maybe I don't have a place to say this, but it's okay to be a single woman. In fact, it's incredibly valuable. It's a valuable thing, and you should embrace it. Yeah, while it is your calling. But I think the thing that stuck out to me, that I briefly talked to my super sleepy wife last night about, was the fact that Pharaoh wants to kill all of the sons of the Hebrews. And I said, you know, wow, isn't that amazing? You know, they wanted to kill all the sons, and in at least recent China, all they wanted to do was kill all the daughters, right? Yeah. But then she pointed out to me, well, it's for the same reason, because of how valuable the sons are, because of what they can do. And, you know, really, it stuck out to me when I was reading Jeremiah today. You know, he says, I'm just a boy. And, you know, God kind of completely ignores that. Don't say that. Well, maybe doesn't ignore it, but says, don't say you're just a boy. You know, you have so much more value. And I'm God. Look at everything that I am. Don't you think that I've made you this way? It's the same thing with Moses, you know, saying, oh, man, you know, I'm slow of speech. Oh, you know, surely somebody else is better than I am to do this. No, I'm God, and I've chosen you, and I will be with you. So, you know, suck it up, because this is going to happen. But just thinking about the value of children, and, you know, we have at least one new one in our midst here, and then thinking about some of the other younger children that have come in our families recently. And, you know, boy, I get so distracted looking at those children. I love little kids, and the smiles and the kicking feet and everything. You know, I can't wait till God blesses us with that opportunity, which I guess technically is now, but not quite yet, you know. Anyway, God also says, you know, unless we act, or Yeshua says, unless we are like little children, you know, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, we have not to be, you know, childlike in our behavior, but rather to be children that are able to listen and learn and actually take on new things and be accepting of all of this information and all of these skills that we're learning. And, you know, I'm so glad that God has provided me the work that he's provided me through Wild Earth and experiencing this firsthand, going out into the land up in Saugerties. This is a while ago, but it happened frequently, because we'd get a new busload of children every day from the Kingston Middle Schools. And, you know, every now and again, one of the teachers would just make some offhanded comment about how, you know, watch out for this particular individual, because, you know, there's nothing going on up there, or there's such a disruption, or, you know, et cetera. And it really pains my heart to hear that, because they just don't. Number one, they're a child. You know, I feel like they treat them as though they're adults who have lived an entire life. But it's just, if you're going to be in the education field for children, I feel like you should at least have some value, see them as having some value in your life. So that's always been hard for me. And then, you know, the thing that God always proves over and over again is that those people are wrong, because at the end of the day, we don't experience the same discrepancies that they do. And, you know, it might have to do with the setting, but I think it also has to do with the hearts of these instructors. I mean, they're not necessarily God-fearing people, but I think they understand the difference between the punishment paradigm and the discipline paradigm really well, because all they ever do is talk about relationship and be account. They're all accountable to their children that aren't even theirs. You know, if they it's written in our training that, you know, if we yell at a child or use something in that sort of punishment paradigm way, you know, we need to apologize to those children because that isn't, it's not right for us to do that. I mean, we have to be better examples to them. And, you know, I'm so grateful for all of the fathers that I have here in this room, for, you know, for Mr. Gain, Mr. Lundgren, Dean, Ed, Johnny B, Hester, who's not here, Mr. K, Walter. You know, thankful for all of the discipline that, that has been shown to me through your relationships with me, and now recently with my reconnection with my own father. He's been I don't know how he's really been feeling, but I'm sure after all these lost years, there's probably some shame involved, and he got me this little wooden puzzle yesterday. It's when you finish it, it's an owl that sits on a stand, and it was a reminder back to my childhood that I used to spend with him, when he would get me all these weird model kits in Japanese or whatever they were, and I'd build these little robots. You may know them as Gundam robots, but anyway. And I never understood the language, but I'd always be able to build them, and it was really, really enjoyable to have that gift and to build it yesterday. I did it so quickly, but I think more than that was just the appreciation that, you know, I think he still values me as a child, and still sees the potential that I have. Not just in, not just as his son, but I think in my own relationship with God and what I can bring to the family. And you know, I really appreciate that it's an owl, because it you know, owls have big eyes. They can take in so much light. They can take in so much light and see the things that other regular animals can't. And I think that it's a reminder of how much I need to keep my eyes open, and how much I need to see what Yeshua is doing in my life. And you know, sometimes I look around and I'm having so much trouble seeing, and then one of you tells me about this great thing that I've done, or with this gift that I have that I could not have possibly seen before. And you know, I'm just so grateful. Anyway. So I think that we need to recognize the pharaohs of our land that are trying still to kill our children. And to really cherish our children with everything that we have, because we have so much value, and God values you so much, and he sees so much in you. I'm sure he's got bigger eyes than an owl does, and you know, there is so much that I feel like I've lost in my time being a part. But I gotta tell you, the short time that I've spent with my family has helped me to realize how much time I've had with you, and to realize that there is still so much more to be done, and so much more that will be done.
I didn't actually tell my wife last night when she asked me who I was messaging, that I messaged Greg and asked him what he was speaking on today. I don't know if I quite asked the It wasn't quite the question I used to ask you as a joke. And then I think I've told you all before, I became a little careful that after the first time I made a little joke to Craig like that, he stayed up till 3 in the morning studying. And I was going, Craig, you know, I was just kidding around. It's just another example, I guess, of how you have to be careful about kidding around, because kidding around is it's actually really dangerous a lot of the time. It can be fun, but it's really easy to hurt people, and sometimes you don't find out. It's also easy sometimes to put a yoke on them that you didn't know you were putting on them, and that's kind of what started to happen with Craig. But I learned some things about Craig that way, and I think maybe he learned some things. And, you know, about you have to learn not to let people put something on you, whether you can put it on yourself because you feel obligated, even though they're not doing it, or, you know, in some cases they will. But anyway, that was great. Well, as time goes by, we'll hear more from the Tanya. It's coming. I don't think I really need to say that much here. I had an interesting trip to Minnesota. Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and added another night at an airport to my collection of nights that I've spent in an airport. I mean, Craig mentioned some things from the Torah portion. I'll just mention, Moses says, after God calls him, "Who am I?" And that's more or less what Jeremiah says, "Who am I?" or "I am just." And I think probably all of us have this "Who am I?" thing. Takes different forms. Who am I? I'm not good enough. I'm not able. Or sometimes it's actually just "Who am I?" It could be a way to avoid something. It's kind of a mixture. But I almost said it doesn't matter who you are, but that's not really true. You have to know who you are. But the answer, it's interesting, the "Who am I?" The answer to that is always found in "I am." Who shall I say sent me? I am. The answer to, don't we all want to know who we are? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Some people go all over the world looking, trying to figure out who they are. And all the while the answer is in "I am." It's who God is the answer to who you are. And it's already 1:35. I'll just mention this. By the way, Judah, I was thinking that verse that you mentioned, this, where Paul asks, "What do you have that you have not received?" It's circulating through my head yesterday and today. And I just saw that as another evidence, God speaking to you. He just wants me to know, you to know, that kept coming through my mind, because that's one way we can start to see, God's saying something to me, and he's saying something to them about that. And so, maybe it really is God that's saying that to me, because something else is going on about that. So that's that. But I lost a day on the airport. I got home totally exhausted. I think I was still exhausted yesterday. Wasn't all that functional. Just another example that the Lord supplies whatever is needed, regardless of what you're lacking, you know. It's very sweet, Craig, to hear the things that you shared. As far as dramas go, I'm with you. I really love the story of you, too. It's just, I really love it. But this, Yeshua says this, you know, Peter denied Yeshua three times, right? When I ask you, does anybody, I mean, what does that seem like? Is that a failure? Did his faith fail? He says, I don't even know the guy, right? What, is that a failure of his faith? It's a yes or no question.
No?
No, yes, yes, well. No, yes. What? Well, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, it would seem to be almost like the ultimate failure. Lack of faith, maybe even just pure throwing it away, you know. Denying Yeshua, and I mean, denying even knowing him. And then repeating it. But I'm just going to read you the passage where that comes from. Pretty interesting. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Now, I'm pretty sure that every prayer Yeshua prays gets exactly like an answer like, and the one Yeshua expects, because he's not confused about what he's asking for. And he doesn't ask for the wrong reason. And he doesn't, you know, it's just there isn't any mixture in it. So, of course, God is going to supply whatever Yeshua asks for, because that's just the way it is. I don't have to expound on it anymore. So it really struck me just today. It's like, huh, Yeshua prayed that Peter's faith wouldn't fail. But he already knew what he was going to do. I mean, he's not stupid. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. See, he knows he's going to turn, and then he knows he's going to turn back. He prays that his faith wouldn't fail. So, you know, I mean, Peter must have felt almost as guilty and filthy as Judas after that. But it happened just as Yeshua prayed and said, that he turned again and he strengthened his brothers, and he never turned and went the wrong direction again. Though, like everyone else, he wasn't perfect on the face of this earth in his all of his conduct. So all of these biblical characters, you know, they're of like nature with ourselves. We're the same. They weren't a different species. They weren't given some great big thing that God's denied us. They're just human beings. So I'm not going to go on. I don't know if any of you want to know anything about my trip. I took a bunch of pictures of Snert, by the way. So for those of you that have never understood what I was talking about, I can actually show you some. My brother and I decided to head back to Wisconsin early. And I said, well, I want to go back. Can you turn around and go back? We're in the middle of no place. And these little, you know, well, basically they're farm dirt roads, you know. I said, I want to take some pictures of Snert, and the best stuff I saw was back there. So if we're going to head back, can you just go back that, like, to that place over there? So anyway, he turned around, drove back, and I took a whole bunch of pictures of Snert. So Snert, is what? Snert is you get snow and snow drifts, and then you have soil erosion and dry soil with driven cold wind loosens these tiny little granules of black gumbo, and then they roll along, and tons and tons and tons of topsoil end up going in the rivers. And erosion is a bad thing, but it produces some beautiful things. And I always wish I had photos of some of the. It's snow, that it's dirt that has been wind eroded and then collected in different ways in the snow that's been drifted. It can just be mostly just look dirty, but sometimes you get these amazing patterns, some of which I really wish I had photos of from along the Snake River, but absolutely breathtaking patterns there. But I never did get pictures of that. But I have pictures of that if anybody wants to see them at some point. I was going to tell you a story of a woman named Carla Grossman. Yeah. So one morning we stayed in this Super 8 in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And as you can imagine, it's fabulous. I suggest any one of you go stay there in January just for a little getaway. Anyway, so one morning it was still dark. I went out to the breakfast area to read my Bible while my brother was doing whatever he was doing or wasn't doing. I can't quite remember. So I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and and then there's this, the hallway wall comes along, goes against the breakfast area, but then there's a big open window. It's just, you know, just cut away. And so I was sitting close to that on a table. All of a sudden, there's this woman. She puts her elbows on that thing and leans over and tells me that tonight is, you know, it's Tuesday, and Tuesday is brat and hot dog night at such and such place. I can't even remember the name. And I said, oh, brat and hot dogs. And she had like a sweatshirt on and a stocking cap. She's a little on the chunky side. It was, I don't know if it was some kind of stuff that would wash out or just these kind of sort of ugly stains on the sleeve up here. And then, you know, I can't remember, you know, I just commented about it and I said, oh, well, I'm, you know, not sure. But, and then she said, she made it clear somehow that she was the proprietor of this place at some point. And then she probably noticed the Bible, because I can't remember exactly, but she made it clear, well, in addition to brats and hot dogs, there was also, you know, booze. And then I said, oh, you know, booze. And she goes, oh, yeah, you know, something like whosoever offers the least of these. I looked at her, I smiled, and I said, that's interesting. You know, I've never thought of that verse as, like, whoever offers a shot of whiskey to one of the least of these shall by no means lose their reward. I don't even know if she knew that many of the words, but it's, that's, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I said, well, maybe, you know. So then, you know, she kept talking, and then it comes out that it's a strip joint. I said, oh, you had strippers. You have a bar with strippers. And so I just, you know, I just very, just had a conversation with her. I said, well, you know, I wouldn't actually go to a place like that. And then I explained to her why. And went back and forth, and she said she was offering these women, you know, a better life, chance at good pay with dignity and safety. And I said, well, you know, I can't really think of that as dignity for those women. I mean, because, you know, the guys that go there and watch them, you know, you know, what it is. You know, I just explained it. I mean, she didn't act threatened. She didn't act in the least like I was judging her. You know, just talked a little bit about it back and forth. And then, you know, a few different scriptures. And then she said something. I don't remember what it was. Oh, well, no, I just knew her name. I asked her what her name was. I said, Grossman, is it, you know, are you Jewish? She says, oh, way, 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 way back, you know. And so she lives in Minto, which is a place where some of the potato equipment I once built would get, you know, end up because there's a lot of potatoes grown around Minto. And she raises beef cattle in Minto. And then 90 miles away in Devil's Lake, she runs a bar and a strip joint, you know. And, you know, I just talked to her about a little bit about herself. And then my brother came out, and I told my Jerusha and my son last night that my brother came out with, you know, and started his heat-seeking gospel routine. which was all right. I mean, you know, she never seemed even the least bit like she thought we were judging her. Not there was not a trace of it. And then when my brother was going on with the stuff, you know, I thought, you know, sometimes you just got to break from the formula. I mean, I try not to have one. But I just said, he was standing out there where she was, and I was still sitting at the table. I said, you know, Carla, I don't know if I said I or we, but you know, can we pray for you? He goes, oh, you know, like, and I said, so, all right, if I put my hand on your head? He goes, yeah. I reach in her, I put my hand on her head, and I just prayed that the Lord would just dump his love, you know, all over her and just show her who she was and reveal to her what he had for her. And, you know, I prayed for her for a bit, you know, a little while. And then and I said, in Yeshua's name. And then I got the strongest sense as she was, I mean, she came in there to hawk her wares, you know, to sell something. And I got the impression that she actually meant to truly offer people something real, you know. I mean, you know, people don't always know what they're doing. But when she walked away, she walked through the hotel, and there must be an exit in the back. I don't even know where it is. I just had the strongest sense that she was walking away thinking, life isn't the same anymore, and I'm going to have to figure out what it is I need to do now. And then also in the hotel, there was a cleaning lady. I don't know if they live in the hotel. She and what I assume is her husband, or I don't know, she could have been Mandan or Lakota. Five little, you know, I'm assuming they're Lakota children from around that size up to about this. The baby was really grumpy looking. And then from there on, they were all so completely different and just beautiful, you know. And then in Minnesota, I saw a lot of Chippewa. You know, where I went to high school and junior high, every direction you can point, there's a reservation someplace. And it just, it was just something about seeing all those Native Americans that, despite the way the European descendants seem to talk about them, they're just, humanity is just so breathtaking. In all of its forms and sizes. And then, you know, I didn't make it home, but you just have no idea what's just behind the skin of everybody's face, you know. it is one of the things that makes me so think about, but not perhaps yet be quite careful enough about just how devastating the wrong comment can be. You have no idea what's going on with somebody, what they've been through. But I met a woman with my bag got searched on my way through security at the Duluth airport, and the woman in front of me's bag also got searched. And because we both got searched, and there were questions about whether there was anything fragile or anything sharp, I'd already made sure there was nothing sharp, no blunt objects, you know, none of that stuff. I almost left with two knives in my briefcase that were from Hanukkah, because they slipped down underneath this thing. I discovered them right before I left. I was glad that I managed that. From here, I mean. Anyway, the woman happened to say, "Oh, everything in mine was fragile. You know, Christmas presents and Hanukkah presents." And I go, "Oh, are you Jewish?" And she goes, "Yeah, is there a problem with that?" And anyway, she was raised Catholic, never knew she was Jewish, just found out not too long ago, runs a non-profit aid to Israel, and has the most bizarre family and story. And yeah, I don't know whether I'll ever hear from her. I gave her the contact information for the congregation, and I might have given her my email, the congregations. I can't remember exactly, but I told her about Messianic Judaism, and she seems to have converted to some kind of Judaism since she found out. But it's just because it got searched and the flight was delayed, ended up finding out all these things about this person, and then she was, I told her I'd pray for her family and the whole. Yeah, it's just beyond bizarre situation, but and I met some other people along the way at airport, but I always just notice people, you know, when I'm in cosmopolitan places like Minneapolis Airport and Detroit, and everywhere else too, but what was it the thing about praying for? The other thing probably has a lot to do with my brother, but I had occasion to think quite a bit about how easy it is to be ungrateful or just not grateful. Are they the same thing or different? If you're not grateful, I don't see how you can be not being ungrateful. But you can express, like, disgratitude, which might be worse than just not being thankful, right? But things weren't the way we thought they were going to be around Devil's Lake. We didn't shoot any coyotes. We didn't even shoot at any coyotes. We caught almost no fish. And I didn't care. I can still handle the cold, by the way. 69, minus 69 wind chill, I can still handle, no problem. And I wore just the clothes I had with me the one time just to see whether or not I could handle it without my brother's heavy stuff that he gave me. And I could, though it was a bit of a challenge. But I caught two walleyes before the whole thing was over. And my brother caught one, and I brought, if you figure the cost of the trip, I brought my wife as delicacy. I mean, I've never brought her anything before that cost, I don't know, $300, $350 a pound, but I did. So, you know, it was really great. And I'm glad that we moved from Poplar, Wisconsin when I was 9. It changed my life. And if we hadn't, I probably would never have. I don't know if I, well, I don't think I ever would have ended up here. But yeah, I couldn't hear you. Well, that's good. Anyway, I'm tired and I'm rambling on, so I'm going to stop. Lord, just show us the people in front of us, wherever we happen to be, and help us to not be in too much of a hurry to love people, notice who they are, and realize that the thing that we thought we were about to do may really not be the reason that we're even at that location, but it could be some person that you meant for us to meet. Help us to notice and to take the opportunity. And I just ask you to bless and encourage everyone here and convince them how precious and valuable they are and how much you love them in Yeshua's name.